All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive.
It's great to be here.
Today, we're tackling debt and credit.
Oh, yeah.
And we're using this really cool guide called Understanding Debt and Credit History.
Right.
To help us out, kind of break it down.
It's a great resource.
So by the end of this deep dive, you're going to feel like you have a much better grasp on how this whole thing works.
For sure.
So one of the first things that really jumped out at me was this idea that, you know, debt isn't always bad.
Yeah.
Like, there's a whole thing in the guide about how you can actually use it strategically.
Right.
It's like fire, right?
Okay.
You can use it to heat your home or it can burn the whole thing down.
Exactly. It's about understanding the difference between good debt and bad debt.
So give me an example of good debt.
Well, student loans, for example, if they're used to invest in an education.
Okay.
That leads to, like, higher earning potential.
Okay.
That could be considered good debt.
So how do you measure, like, the return on that investment?
That's a great question.
Like, it's not like buying stock where you can see the numbers go up or down.
It's not as straightforward.
Right.
But studies have shown that, on average, a college degree leads to significantly higher lifetime earnings.
Hmm.
Of course, there are a lot of factors involved, like your field of study, the job market.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, generally speaking, higher education levels are correlated with higher lifetime earnings.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's not just getting a degree for the sake of it, but actually choosing something that is going to give you some return.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Making smart choices.
Now, this guide also doesn't sugarcoat things.
No.
They dive into the bad side of debt.
Right, right.
You know, like racking up credit card debt, which a lot of people, myself included, struggle with.
Yeah. That's where understanding compounding interest is super important.
It's okay.
You know, imagine like a snowball rolling down a hill.
Okay.
Every month you don't pay off that balance in full, more interest gets added on.
It just gets bigger and bigger.
And suddenly you're not just paying back what you spent.
Right.
You're paying a bunch of interest on top of that.
So how do you avoid that?
Well, it's about making informed choices.
Okay.
Right? Not just, you know, whipping out the plastic without thinking about the consequences.
So it's not always about avoiding debt altogether.
Right.
But being smart about the kind of debt that you're taking on.
Exactly.
Okay, now, this brings us to something that has always felt kind of mysterious to me, and that is credit history.
Okay.
This guide describes it as your financial resume.
It is.
Which is a really good way to put it. It's
mm-hmm.
like your record of your borrowing and repayment habits.
Yeah.
And it seems like having a good credit history is really important these days.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it comes up for everything.
It really does.
Like getting a loan or even renting an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it so important?
Well, a strong credit history can get you lower interest rates on loans.
Okay.
You can get better terms on credit cards. It can even help you with certain job opportunities.
Really?
Yeah, especially in finance-related fields. They may view it as, you know, a reflection of how you handle your personal affairs, which could translate to how you handle responsibilities at work.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
So it's not just about, you know, getting approved for that credit card. It's about really building this, you know, financial reputation.
Right. It affects so many areas of your life.
Okay. So building good credit is clearly
yeah.
important.
Yeah.
But how does that play into, like, the bigger picture, like the overall economy?
Well, think about it this way. When individuals are borrowing and repaying responsibly,
okay,
it creates a healthier financial system.
Hmm.
Banks have more money to lend.
Okay.
Businesses can get access to capital to grow.
Right.
And ultimately, it contributes to a more stable and prosperous economy.
So, like, we all play a role in this,
yeah.
you know, giant financial ecosystem. And our individual choices, like even just paying our credit card bill on time, can actually contribute to, you know, a stronger economy overall.
It's true. Yeah.
All right. So now let's talk about credit rating.
Okay.
What is this magical number?
It's not exactly magical, but it is a powerful number.
Okay.
It's basically a scorecard that lenders use to figure out how risky it is to lend you money.
So the higher the score, the better?
Generally, yes.
Okay.
A higher score means you're a lower risk borrower.
Right.
So you're more likely to get approved for loans.
Okay.
And with better terms and interest rates.
So how do you find out where your credit score is?
Well, this guide recommends that you regularly check your credit report.
Okay.
And you can get a free report from each of the three major credit bureaus every year.
Oh, that's awesome.
Through a website called annualcreditreport.com.
Okay, I'm writing that down.
And this will help you catch any errors, you know, track your progress.
So, what are some things that people can do to improve their credit score?
Well, for starters, you want to try to limit new credit applications.
Okay.
Each time you apply for a credit card or a loan, it creates something called a hard inquiry on your credit report,
Hard inquiry.
which can actually lower your score temporarily.
So it's not about like hoarding credit cards.
Right.
It's about being strategic about when and why you apply for new credit.
Exactly. Lenders like to see a pattern of responsible credit use, not a frenzy of applications.
Gotcha. This is already making me rethink how I use my credit cards. What are some other things people can do to improve their score?
Another important one is to keep your credit utilization low.
Credit utilization.
This means not maxing out your cards, even if you have a high credit limit.
Okay.
You want to aim to use less than 30% of your available credit.
Okay, so even if my limit is $10,000, I don't want to be spending $10,000.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, got it. So what you're saying is you want to make sure that you're using credit responsibly.
Precisely. It demonstrates financial discipline.
This deep dive is already proving to be super valuable. We've learned that debt isn't always a bad thing. Credit history is basically like our financial reputation, and understanding our credit score is crucial for just about everything these days. But I'm sure there's much more to uncover.
Oh, yeah, tons more.
What else does this guide reveal about this fascinating world of debt and credit?
We'll have to wait till next time to find out.
All right, well, we'll be back for part two of our deep dive into understanding debt and credit history. So stay tuned. We're back and ready to keep diving into this credit thing.
Let's do it.
So last time we were talking about credit scores, and I'm still kind of wondering how exactly is this score calculated? It seems like a bit of a mystery.
Yeah, it's definitely a little complex, but there's actually a pretty clear formula.
Oh, okay.
And it boils down to five main factors:
Right.
payment history, the amounts you owe, the length of your credit history, your credit mix, and any new credit you have.
Okay, so five key ingredients in this credit score recipe.
You got it.
Let's break them down one by one. Payment history seems pretty straightforward. Pay your bills on time, and you're golden, right?
Yeah, that's the most important factor. It counts for about 35% of your score.
Wow, so a big chunk.
Lenders want to see that you have a good track record of paying your bills on time.
So those late payment notices aren't just annoying, they actually hurt your score.
Unfortunately, yeah, even one late payment can bring your score down.
Ouch. Okay, I'm making a note to myself.
Especially if it's a recent one. It basically tells lenders that maybe you're not the most reliable borrower.
Gotcha. What about the amounts owed?
Okay, so this one's a little trickier.
Does that mean you have to have zero balance on all your credit cards to have a perfect score?
Not necessarily. This factor is about 30% of your score.
Okay.
And it's not just about how much debt you have, but your credit utilization ratio.
Credit utilization ratio, that sounds complicated.
It's basically the percentage of available credit that you're actually using.
Oh, okay.
So let's say you have a credit card with a $10,000 limit. Maxing it out every month isn't the best idea.
Gotcha. Even if you pay it off right away.
It can make lenders think you're relying too much on credit.
Like you're a little too close to the edge.
Exactly. It's generally best to keep that credit utilization below 30%. So for a $10,000 limit, you'd want to keep your balance under $3,000.
Okay, that makes sense. Like you're showing you can handle credit, not going crazy with it.
Exactly.
All right, so what's next on our credit score checklist?
Length of credit history.
I'm guessing that means the longer you've had credit and managed it well, the better.
Yep, that's about 15% of your score.
Okay.
Lenders like to see a nice long history of you using credit responsibly.
So don't close that old credit card you've had since college.
Probably not the best idea. It
Right.
actually helps your score to keep those older accounts open, even if you're not using them much anymore.
Good to know. I was about to do a major credit card purge.
I'd hold off on that.
Okay, noted. What about credit mix? What is that?
So this one's about 10% of your score.
Okay.
And it's about having different types of credit, like credit cards, loans, maybe a mortgage.
Oh, so having a variety is actually good.
It shows lenders that you can handle different kinds of credit responsibly, like you're a well-rounded borrower.
So my student loan, my car loan, and my credit card are actually helping me out.
As long as you're making your payments on time and keeping that utilization low.
Gotcha. So it's like a juggling act.
You got it.
Okay. Last but not least, new credit. I know we talked about this a little before, but why does applying for too much credit hurt your score?
Right, so each time you apply for a new credit card or a loan, it creates something called a hard inquiry on your credit report, and that can temporarily lower your score.
So it's not just about having a lot of open credit cards, but also how often you're trying to open new ones.
Exactly.
Like you're sending up a signal flare that you're desperate for cash.
Yeah, it can look that way to lenders.
And they don't like that.
They want to see that you're in control.
So it sounds like being thoughtful about credit applications is key.
Definitely.
This is really making me rethink my whole approach to credit.
I'm glad to hear it.
We've gone from debt being the big bad wolf to realizing it could be a helpful tool. And now we're even breaking down the credit score code. This is amazing.
I told you, fascinating stuff.
But how do we use all this in real life? Like, what are the actual moves we can make to improve our financial situation?
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground on this financial journey.
We have.
You know, we talked about debt not always being a bad thing and credit history being like this financial resume.
Right.
And even cracked the code on how that mysterious credit score is actually calculated.
Yeah.
But now I'm wondering, like, how do we actually put all this knowledge into practice?
That's the million-dollar question.
How do we actually level up our financial game?
Right. It's not just about knowing this stuff, but using it.
Exactly. So what are some, like, actionable steps that our listeners can take?
Okay. Well, let's go back to that idea of good debt versus bad debt.
Okay.
Remember, not all debt is created equal.
Debt can be a good thing if it's an investment, like in your education.
Right.
Or, say, a house.
Okay, so think of it as an investment, not just like a burden.
Exactly.
Okay.
But of course, we got to be careful with that bad debt.
Right, like those credit cards.
Those high interest credit cards.
Yeah.
Can get out of control really quickly if you're not careful.
Yeah.
The key is to, you know, make a budget, track your spending.
Right, make sure you're not spending more than you have.
Exactly.
And that's where that credit utilization comes in.
Right, exactly. You want to keep those credit card balances low. So you're not maxing them out.
Right.
Showing lenders that you're in control.
Like you're not living on the edge.
Yeah. It's a balancing act. You want to use credit to build your credit history, but you don't want to overdo it.
Yeah.
And speaking of credit history, don't forget to check your credit reports.
Oh, yeah. Those free ones?
Yeah. You can get those from annualcreditreport.com.
Right, right.
Make sure everything is accurate.
Yeah.
It's like a financial checkup.
It is. And you can dispute anything that's not right.
Absolutely.
Okay, so be proactive about this stuff.
Definitely. Knowledge is power.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to your finances.
Wow. Well, this has really been eye-opening.
It has.
We've gone from, like, fearing debt to seeing it as a potential tool.
Right.
We've learned about the importance of our credit history.
Yeah.
And we've even, like, broken down how that credit score works.
Exactly. We've demystified it.
Yeah. So as we wrap up this deep dive, what is one thing you would want our listeners to take away from all this?
I would say just think about what's one small thing you can do today to improve your financial well-being, whether it's creating a budget, checking your credit report, or just being more aware of your spending habits.
Be more mindful.
Exactly.
I love that.
Even small changes can make a big difference.
That's so true. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive into the world of debt and credit.
It was my pleasure.
And to our listeners, keep learning, keep exploring, and keep diving deep.